this first reading is sort of to awaken in us the prophetic vocation. What is it? You see? Gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Now, why does God do that? Mercy. Turn people from death. The way they're going is going to cause them death. A living death in this world and an eternal death in the next. And so he sends prophets out of love. And they risk their life and lose their life. Because mostly Satan doesn't want that. He doesn't want people obeying God, loving God, and trusting God. And so he makes the prophet appear to be a threat to the government. And so, and sometimes the government makes up the threat. Why? Hard to figure out. Why did the Romans start persecuting their Christians? Now, what were the Christians doing that was so illegal, so disruptive of the government? Nothing. The main thing they were doing was not participating in the pagan rituals honoring the sun and the moon and the gods and the cosmic forces and all those things. Some people, you see, thought, well, that's going to disturb the whole situation because these spirits, these demons, will start after us if we don't cultivate their worship. So they were afraid. Others, they just knew this was a challenge. This is God Almighty, Creator, the only God there is, among us, preaching to us, dying for us, saving us, changes your whole perspective on life. It doesn't end with death. It ends with judgment and an eternal hereafter. That's what it ends. Too much to take. So let's just kill them all. And of course, the charge against them was enemies of the state. They wouldn't worship the gods of the establishment. And there was just enough superstition around to think, well, maybe there really is something there, like there is today. You know, I must say that we're a little bit more overt about our atheism than the Romans were, because they thought there were, and there are, you know, there are spirits out there, and you don't want to get them mad at you. And so Jeremiah, and as you know, Jeremiah was martyred. So then we have this, well, I really wanted to talk about the psalm for a moment. A moment. This is Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. What does that mean? Let me never deny you. You see, in your justice, rescue me. That's tzedek, your justice. Now, what is the justice? Honoring the truth of every relationship. That's justice. And so, I'm your creature. I'm your child. I belong to your people. And so, be God to me. That's all, you see. Incline your ear to me and save me from whatever this man is suffering, see. But it's a prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit based on God's prior choice of the psalmist. He had him conceived and born among the Jewish people. The only ones who knew there was just one true God. The only ones who had from God a whole law on how to live. And so, see, be a rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. For you are my rock and my fortress. Oh my God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked. For you are my hope, O Lord. my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb you are my strength. Can you hear this prayer? Can you hear what this man is doing? And this is the word of God? Talking to God this way, you see? It ends, in your justice, rescue me. And then the end, it says, my mouth shall declare your justice. I'll let the whole world know how faithful you are to your promises. And so that's the psalm that they put on the lips, if you will, of John the Baptist today. And on ours. Well, did God help him out? Well, where is he now? Where is he now? He witnessed. You see, you can't let a public figure publicly sin and have nobody oppose it, because all the people will follow. And so the Baptist confronted him. And of course, Herodias, who was already in trouble, I mean, she wasn't living with her husband, she was living with Herod. Her husband was Philip, Herod's brother. So he had to go. And so evil's solution to trouble, kill the opposition. So now, it's very interesting. Mark, who's the shortest of the Gospels, and usually the shortest account of anything, a miracle or he's the shortest. On the account of this martyrdom of John the Baptist and the sordid way that it took place, Mark is the longest. You have to ponder that. Now, why? Why? Of course, Mark was in Rome with Peter and could see what was going on. And maybe he felt, people better get the picture. And that may be why he has this long, rather sordid story. It's about lust, revenge, anger, murder, superstition, backboneless. It's about all our vices. And so that's, he even swore many things to her. I'll give you half my kingdom. But, everybody knows he's drunk and he's just been sexually excited by this girl. Nobody expects him to give her half her kingdom, But he's made a vow, and that's all Satan needed, see? Then the girl goes and this is Herodias' chance to kill him. He knew sooner or later this was going to have to happen, because for the sake of God's people, he would not let evil go unobstructed, uncondemned. People have to know. All the people who pray outside the abortion clinic and so forth, you see, they're not letting the nation know, forget that this is murder. If everybody stopped protesting, we would drift off into an abyss of murder, a cesspool of profligacy. So it's love. Save the children. But also, save the mother. And you don't need me to tell you, you read all the what happens to people when they have an abortion, many, unless, and this is the awful, marvelous thing, if they can get God's forgiveness into their heart, they're free. Now, what does that say about God? Who is he? Even after murdering a child in their womb, God wants them to know that they're forgiven. That's so important, you see. And so the state cannot stand a higher principle. And of course, that's been the problem ever since the Lord commissioned the apostles to go preach and gave them the Holy Spirit. Theodosius, then I'll quit. I don't think I'm over time yet. I'm not, but I will. Theodosius, emperor, murdered 300 or 400 people. And Ambrose, the bishop, he was going to come up to Ravenna, where the Pope, where Ambrose was. No, it wasn't Ambrose. Maybe it was. Anyway, to celebrate the Midnight Mass. And Ambrose sent a message to Theodosius. There are two who run this world, O Emperor. You on earth and God in the whole universe. You have offended against God. I will not let you, this is the emperor, I will not let you into the cathedral unless you come out and stand there in front of it and do penance, and then I'll give you absolution. Now, I don't think Theodosius was melting with devotion, but he knew that if he didn't do that, he'd lose the loyalty of most of his people. And Ambrose knew a public sin needs public repentance, or all the people would think you can get away with this to their own ruin. Now just turn on the TV and see what's going on in this very area of either, you know, murder and lust. So we have to witness. Theodosius did, by the way, he did the penance. He stood outside. It was December in northern Italy, so it was snow underground. He's standing out there in the snow. The emperor, because the world must know that the state government is not the last word or the ultimate authority in human existence. That's that. And so, two there are, O emperor, not just one.